The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross and my associate Dan Dubose. Dan, have you joined us already?
I'm here. Thank you, Nathan.
Okay, very good. And we're going to be discussing several issues today that involve Medicare and student loan forgiveness and assorted other issues involving that tax train that's coming down the tracks, and boy, is Medicare a big driver. Dan, you have any thoughts about that, just generally?
Medicare is an expensive thing for some people. Depending on your income, if you can plan that income be at the lowest level, then you're going to save a bunch of tax going forward.
Boy, that's certainly the case. I don't know. I mean, there's probably a lot of our listeners that are like me, where I'm not yet eligible for Medicare. I'm under the age 65 threshold, and I was totally, I mean, this may sound a little bit bizarre, but I was totally unaware of the impact of needs testing on one's Medicare premiums that, you know, we have to pay.
It is significant. It can be.
It's crazy how high that number can go. And I tell you what, when you it's kind of a double whammy in a sense, because it's not just the fact that you've got to earn. Typically, you're going to be earning more taxable income for, you know, recognition on your tax return each year as you move into the future, but you're also going to have to kick in a higher premium for Medicare. What is it, Dan? It's Part D, I believe, is the one that's kind of out of control right now.
Out of control.
And, of course, all parts are out of control when you look at the massive spending. And I think one statistic, when I saw this article, we both were talking about together, an article on Kiplinger, the 29th, I believe it was, for those of you that want to take a look at that. And it's just crazy. If you make money, and the couple that was the illustration or the example, and I've forgotten, we'll get into that here momentarily, but generally they were going to be spending almost $1 million. I believe it was $860,000 or so in retirement because of the needs testing that was applicable to their situation. And who knows what that's going to scale up to as we...
That's right. It goes up every year as well.
Yeah, that's true. And the inflationary factor on medical cost is just crazy. But we'll talk about that here momentarily. I did want to remind the listeners that just because you listen to the show today and we talk about assorted strategies involving taxes, real estate, or other investing, please don't rush out and try your hand at it without first consulting with your existing advisors, including real estate advisors, tax advisors, legal advisors, your other mentors. Just make sure that the strategy you thought you heard indeed will apply to your fact situation, because the last thing we want you to do is go try to do something that blows up from either a tax or economic standpoint or both. So if you don't have advisors that understand what you thought you heard today or last week or going forward even, please let us know, and we'll try to work with you, or at least tell you how we could possibly work with you to solve some of the things you're wanting to do. And by the way, you can find some intake forms so that we can know enough about you to actually opine were you to book a call with us. But both of those, the intake forms and the call scheduler, are at our website, baplanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER. Also, I should mention here at the top of the show this week, I'd usually wait until the end, but I'm going to go ahead and mention it now, and we'll do it at the end. We'll remind you that tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV, we discuss syndication math, and we will review a couple more transactions this week, just very, very high level. I want to emphasize that. But at least we can try to make you aware of some things that are out there. If you're an accredited investor, you might still be able to take advantage of them. If you're a non-accredited, then we're already into the period where you would have had a prior relationship, if it's even available for non-accrediteds. And again, we get into more details on the offering types and who can participate, et cetera. On the Sunday show. Dan, do you have anything regarding tomorrow's show as to what you've been looking at or what we might look forward to?
Well, there's always some fun stuff to look at. There's plenty of deals to be seeing. There's some stuff in Houston that I read about this week that looks kind of interesting.
Well, I think the common theme, at least, you know, we kind of were starting to see equity multiples slip from what we were used to in the past, and it looks like there's some transactions. I don't know if they're just getting the syndicators are getting wiser in terms of targeting a higher equity, more targeting being the key word, or whether these are actually doable. I mean, we kind of look at the math, and sometimes we scratch our head thinking, well, gee, how are they going to double that NOI in 3 years or 2.5 years or 4 years? Because, you know, some things just don't quite add up. But anyway, that's some of the discussion we'll have. And if you're interested in investing in the REP space, that's real estate private partnership syndication space, tune in, and it's something that you may realize, which, you know, we've been working in this area for the last 20 plus years and have yet to see any other asset class that comes close in terms of consistent returns. And we're not the only ones. You know, the private equity space has rushed in to these syndicated investments, and it seems like almost every transaction we look at these days has a private equity component, and that's just the ones that they're tangentially investing in, not the ones that they're actually the lead partner on. But in any event, Dan, I wanted to also interject, you know, we had big news this week in Washington. I tell you, the ink was hardly dry on the IRA of 2022. That would be what, Dan? What does IRA stand for?
That's the Inflation Reduction Act.
Right. And then they bragged about something else in that act that's already evaporated. What was it that they bragged about, Dan? The down payment on what that they were supposedly?
The deficit.
That's it. And you, if you'll recall, I said I wouldn't believe it until I see a check being written to, I guess, who would you write that check to, Dan? The U.S. Treasury, maybe? I'm not sure how all those balls come down once the
you can make that check to me if you wish.
Well, well, it was going to be a down payment, $350 million over 10 years to reduce the $30 trillion, which that's just the part they admit. It's really much higher, probably $130 trillion on up. Now, a trillion, guys, has, or to the listener, a trillion has how many zeros out to the right of it, Dan? Just to be clear here.
It has a dozen of them, 12 zeros.
And how many is it? It's a dozen?
A dozen.
Okay, I'm not hearing you correctly. I was thinking, let's see, it's yeah, that's right. It's 12.
Four times three, 12.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we're gonna put down. Let's think about this. You know, $350 billion. I need to give them more credit. These guys, right? Or was it million? Was it million or billion? The down payment. Maybe
It's million. No.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. That makes it even more outrageous. But so $350 million divided by 10 would be about $35 million a year, right, Dan?
Yeah.
And that's being called a down payment. Do you understand, if you ever look at one of the interest clocks that's out there for calculating how fast that deficit's going up, I'm sure you've logged into sites and seen that. It's laughable to think that anybody describes $35 million a year. I don't know what that keeps up with. Doesn't keep up with
Nathan,
much
that's
of the...
That's got to be billion.
Maybe it is. I guess I'm... Yeah, I am. I'm being cynical. It is $350 billion. But let's, again, $35 billion a year.
On $35
trillion. Right, $30 trillion in debt. And then the ink's not even dry, and President Biden, just with the stroke of the pen, has forgiven student loans for a certain qualifying dynamic, let's say, under 125,000 in income.
I thought it was 150,000, but it's not a great big.
Well,
number.
It's 250 if you're married. That may be where you're getting confused.
Yeah.
But bottom line is the supposed down payment has been now exceeded. They're saying that the cost of this student loan program will be $500 billion to, I think, a trillion is what I've seen on the high side. And a lot of it, it's kind of like Nancy Pelosi famously said, we got to pass it before we can read it. Yeah, well, it's not a piece of legislation in this case. It's an executive order, which is probably, it's definitely going to get challenged. I don't know what the odds are that this actually falls within the emergency powers. That's how... It's like everything else in today's world. When's the last time you saw a vaccine that wasn't issued under the EUA or the emergency use authorization? But don't worry, it's safe, even though there's no pharma that's responsible or no government that's responsible for mandating it or no employer that's responsible, which hopefully that's getting ready to change with some of these cases that are tracking through the court. But it's crazy how that all of a sudden we've got all these powers that used to be, in the country I knew, used to be unconstitutional. But, it's like everything else under the law, nothing's black and white, or so it seems. But anyway, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our first break, and we'll be right back momentarily with more of the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross and Dan Dubose. And we'll talk more about how to deal with these tax, ultimately the additional tax you're going to be paying.
I was going to be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was going to win no matter how much I lost. Grindstone.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my associate has joined us once again, Dan Dubose, CPA. And Dan, let's pivot, unless you had more to add on the student loan. I know one issue. It appears that contrary to most other debt forgiveness, that this will be untaxed at the federal level. Is that what you've noted, Dan, as well?
That's right.
But what are we seeing at the state level? Any ideas? Have you seen some of those articles since?
Have not read anything specific to states, but states don't necessarily have to follow the Fed, so maybe
no,
they'll
they
get
sure,
it.
They sure don't. I saw an article yesterday, in fact, that said that North Carolina has already put out a release saying that they will tax the debt forgiveness, and I suspect more states will follow because, generally speaking, are the states in better shape than the federal government, Dan, when it comes to their budgets? Oh, now, come on. Surely you jest with that laughter.
Well, Texas might be.
Well, I wouldn't get too far out over your skis there. But anyway, for those of you that care, you can go out to the site truthinaccounting.org, which is a marvelous site for cataloging the state of affairs at the state level budgetarily. They don't track crime, or that would be a long, long site page for some of the cities involved. But anyway, they do the states, and then they do, I believe it's 75 of the largest cities. And you probably won't be surprised to learn that you can count pretty much on one hand the number of those two ponds, or those two the fish that are swimming in those ponds, which ones have strong solvency. And it's not many. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs. And of course, the state and the cities don't have quite the ability to sell debt like the Fed does, right? When's the last time the federal government worried about a bond rating? I mean, I know we did have that not too long ago, but that was like the first time in forever, at least in our lifetime.
It might have been in 1804 when they had that, when they first needed money so bad.
could have been. But, you know, the states are a little bit more constrained, and it's interesting to watch how some of them manage the process. I guess you're probably aware, Dan, that California had a surplus after being in such terrible straits. Well, they fixed it by doing what? They raised the tax rate, right? And what's ironic is the voter actually approved the increase in tax rate here several years ago. You recall that, Dan? You remember?
No.
They actually put it on the ballot. And they approved it. But so anyway, so now they're mandating assorted things. They haven't given much of the taxpayers' money back. They're giving it, it's a massive redistribution of wealth. They're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on some forms of this is per occupant, some forms of public housing that they have put in place out there. And I thought the most interesting thing that really shows their business acumen, if you will, on how they manage their money is this past week, I believe it was, or within the last 2 weeks, they mandated, what's the year, Dan? Is it about 2030 or 2032? They will have no more new vehicles sold that are not using alternative
California
fuels. Yeah, California. And so they no sooner had put that edict out that, oh, everybody buying a new vehicle, I mean, I don't know about bringing them in. I assume you have some constitutional rights left where you might be able, if you were moving, if for some reason you decided you want to move to the state of California, you could bring an existing gas-based vehicle. I don't know. But bottom line, after they put that edict out, it was within a matter of days that their power grid, unrelated, I mean, it just shows you how ill-prepared they are, was choking, and they were begging users, residents of California, you got to cut back on your electric use right now. We got a disaster building. And it's like this is the crowd that can't shoot straight, you know, and they don't stop and think what it looks like, you know, before they do it. Just like Biden's press conference this week, which I heard more than a few people, especially on Twitter, I read, wasn't sure which bordello it had been undertaken in, from the red velvety background to the low lighting. I don't know. Did you read any of those articles, Dan?
No.
It's almost, I mean, it would be funny if it wasn't so sad, you know? But anyway, so, okay, well, enough of student loan forgiveness. I just bring that up because it's another item, just like the Medicare issue we're getting ready to talk about, that will affect your back pocket ultimately. It may not be tomorrow. The Republicans may be successful challenging it in court on its constitutionality, but we know what's coming. Okay, it's just a question of how do they get there. And I've forgotten how many millions of voters they seem to think that that's going to bring into the Democratic pot. I don't know, but it probably pales in comparison to even the millions that are coming over the southern border. But in any event, and you know, it's interesting what Greg Abbott is doing right now with, you know, helping redistribute the immigrant population, which I'm all for. I think we ought to shoulder that load across the country, not just in Texas and Arizona. And you know, it's funny to me that they're complaining about the very thing that they said they would embrace. You know, these mayors, you know, Mayor Adams in New York City and Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago. And at first they were kind of upset. And then when it was pointed out that, oh, you are a sanctuary city, right? You do welcome these people. And now they're all on board. And now they're welcoming them with open arms. And I hope we'll fill them up. And I'll tell you, Governor Abbott, for all of his issues, has picked the low-cost strategy of redeploying or redistributing the immigrants, right, Dan? He's using buses. You know what the federal government's
low cost,
using?
Low-cost.
That's right.
$21 million, they're saying. But I guess that's considering the savings in the school district, the health cost, and all
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Well, do you know how the federal government's doing it? And I've got firsthand eyewitness testimony to this effect. They are delivering, I don't know, a dozen buses or so every day to the backside of some of the South Texas airports. And I've got a connection that offices close to the FOB, the fixed operation base there at the Harlingen Airport, that watches this daily. Where they get off the buses and onto charter aircraft from airlines that you won't recognize the names on. And they are flown, not bused, flown to far-flung destinations in Florida, New York, Kentucky, et cetera. That's what the tail numbers show. And I've only recently seen this mentioned in connection with this article about the buses. It's like, well, you know, what are y'all complaining about? We're doing the same, you know, the governor of Texas is doing the same thing that the feds are doing. They're just not talking about it. They're not wanting to publicize it. But it's millions of people. 1.2 million, I believe, have crossed the border illegally, I'm going to say, that managed to get caught. You know, we have no idea. Well, we probably do have an idea how many of the other ones that didn't get caught are, but it's millions of people, folks. It's millions. And to a large extent, they're not bringing a wad of cash with them. And it's like you pointed out, Dan, it's medical systems that are stressed. It's educational systems. It's, you know, jobs that, which, you know, for good or bad, I mean, yeah, I know we all enjoy low-cost labor. You know, I'm all for helping folks participate the right way. But anyway, okay, let's pivot. And or I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a quick break and come back here in a few minutes, and then let's pivot to an article. It was in Kiplinger a week ago called Is Your Retirement Portfolio a Tax Bomb? And we're going to get into some of the issues with being successful on achieving retirement wealth on a pre-tax basis, not on a Roth basis. And we're going to point out here's more reasons to get on with getting your retirement funds over to the Roth side of the house so that you can sidestep some massive, massive health care costs in retirement and tax costs for that matter. So anyway, we'll be right back in a few minutes with more of the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross and Dan Dubose.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Are you a veteran who served offshore of the Republic of Vietnam between 1962 and 1975? Blue Water Navy veterans and their family members may now qualify for compensation and survivor benefits for health conditions linked to herbicide exposure such as Agent Orange. To learn more, call 1-800-749-8387 or go to va.gov and search Blue Water Navy. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Okay, welcome back to the third segment of this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan and Dan. That's Dan Dubose, CPA, And, you know, that freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. That is not true of the Roth scenario now, is it, Dan?
Roth can save you some money if you get it moved over there at the lowest tax rates we have. That's going to be around for a long time.
Well, and
soon to be a long
time. That's true. And what we're getting ready to discuss about the impact of high income on Medicare, it would seem to me that you want to take advantage of this option some point before you're, what, 63, 64? Isn't there like a two-year look back when you first start on Medicare, Dan, that they look at to determine how much your Medicare premium, part of it anyway,
the is going to be? The current year Medicare premium is determined on a 2 years ago income. Yes, so a two-year look back.
So theoretically, so
my 22 payments to Medicare are based on my 2020 income.
So theoretically, you would want to do this at least a couple years in front of turning 65. And that's assuming that you opt to participate, which that's pretty much incentivized, is it not, Dan, by the way the heightened premiums will work if you pass up a few years? It seems like
You can make an election not to be on Medicare if you have insurance with your employer, if you happen to stay employed past 65, which many people these days do.
What about if you're just wealthy?
Maybe you're over 65 and your wife is still working. Covered under her group.
Yeah, what if you simply have enough retirement wealth that you want to self-insure? Is that an option or not?
No.
Okay. So you've got to have coverage of some sort, either employer or Medicare. Okay. By the way, before we move on, I think I may have given you an incorrect website. Dan pointed out to me on the break. It's truthinaccounting.org. I may have said .com. So truthinaccounting.org, it's a two-sided animal.
It's a powerful website. When you look at it, you'll really see some stuff.
I was going to say it's an incredible website, but boy, is it scary! And you may think of it as some of the horror movies out there, except this one's real. That's the problem. It's not the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I don't think happened. That wasn't based on any reality, I don't think. But boy, this is scary, and I tell you. It seems at times as if the whole world is hanging by a thread. And, of course, we like to complain and whine about how bad off the U.S. is. Well, truthfully, we may be one of the countries in better shape than others. I mean, Japan, Dan, if I'm not mistaken, has a public debt that's 300% of their GDP. That's staggering. Yeah. And ours is merely half that. So, it's about 150%. It's somewhere in that neighborhood, or will be here in the next few years, unless we do something about it. But does that seem to bother many people in Congress? I don't see much concern. Do you? It's like everything else. Oh, we'll do it right before all chaos breaks loose. That's when we'll try to do something. But the reality is this is a big change is going to have to happen if it's going to matter, because the type of dollars we're talking about are just massive, and I would sure rather see us spend $1 trillion on true deficit reduction. If it means taxes have to go up, okay. I think a lot of people would feel okay with that, assuming they saw that the money was being used for more than subsidizing more electric cars or, assorted other, quote, green, unquote, strategies. And it seems to me, how much is it going to matter how green we are if we can't pay the interest, the debt service on the public debt in 2029 or 30? And you're going to have such amazing incredibly bad economic outcomes, your electric vehicle may not make it out of the garage, right? I mean, it's amazing how bad off things will be, and they're already bad off when you look at the – go pull up a site on the debt clock and look at how fast that amount's tracking, and then try to tell me that $35 billion a year is
truth
truly
in accounting
kind of
has it as well. It's showing the real debt to be about 140-plus
who's
trillion.
This? Which site accounting, did you say?
The truthinaccounting.org.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're on the lower end of that projection. I've seen other sites that have it as high as 230 trillion.
Trillion.
There's a wide range there. It depends on your assumption set, et cetera. But anyway, well, let's pivot and talk about an article that was in Kiplinger on August the 22nd. And I'm just going to give you the highlights, and then, Dan, perhaps you can opine on some of these subsections. A warning to high earners and super savers, that massive 401k or traditional IRA that you worked so hard to build may become a big problem in retirement, resulting in huge tax bills and Medicare surcharges. Here's what you need to know and what you can do about it. Now, first of all, I wish they had inserted the word traditional 401k or traditional in front of 401, just like they did in front of the IRA. Understand that if you've been diligently saving through the Roth side of either one of those two vehicles, you are way ahead of the curve. And not to say that the rules won't change. They can, but I'll suggest to you the rules are less likely to change on the 401 than they are the IRA. Just look at what was proposed with Build Back Better, not even a year ago, I guess, if I remember correctly. And the IRA was under fire. You recall that, Dan, how they were going after? Yeah, they were trying to make it harder for traditional IRAs to invest in things like we like these syndicated private real estate investments. They were saying that you can't do that if, in fact, your status in those investments requires you to be a certain educational level. And there were assorted other entanglements that the bottom line was they were trying to push more of your money into the stock market, which, again, this is Congress we're talking about. And so don't be surprised at that type of logic. And just understand whose bread is being buttered. I mean, Wall Street is a massive friend, massive contributor of so many congressmen that if you can't figure that out, then I'm worried for your future. But in any event, here's what the issues are. Required minimum distributions. Most people think that when they get into retirement, their tax bracket will go which way, Dan, up or down?
Most people think it will go down.
Right, and here's a prime reason why it will go up in most cases as you get older is because your required minimum distribution goes up. Correct, Dan?
Each year as you get older and you hopefully your 401 grows, you're going to have more money to distribute, which means you're going to have a higher tax rate potentially, unless you have to get into that Roth account that we keep talking about.
Well, that's right. These are tax-deferred accounts, not tax-free accounts. And the IRS will only let us avoid taxes for so long. You know, at some point, you've got to start taking required minimum distributions. And when you take those, all of a sudden, your adjusted gross income or modified adjusted gross income, I guess, is the Medicare point of focus, goes up. And here's an example. This is in the Kiplinger article. I would strongly encourage you folks to go pull it offline. And again, the title is Your Retirement Portfolio a Tax Bomb? August 22nd. And so what they point out is they've got a couple, as an example, that's age 40, who has saved about $500,000 combined in pre-tax 401 accounts. I see this dynamic. This is a very common scenario here.
It is.
And presumably, it goes on to say, this couple's tracking well for a secure environment. If they keep maxing out the pre-tax 401k contributions and receive a $6,000 employer match, their 401k accounts will have grown to an impressive $7.3 million by retirement at age 65. Now, many of our clients will have grown more than that because they're in these real estate private partnerships that generally are going to double, what, Dan, every 4, 5, 6 years in value? So if they were
That's what we look for typically, yes.
Well, that's right. I mean, those are the kind of transactions we help you locate and invest in. But bottom line is $7.3 million is likely to be much higher, probably at least twice as high would be my guess. And so anyway, this example, the article says they're in great shape, right? Or you would think that. The problem is that their pre-tax savings represents a growing tax liability, just kind of clocking along out there in the background. Nobody's whispering in your ear that, except I guess us on the radio, that you better do something to avoid the tax train that's coming. And do you know that at age 72, the first required minimum distribution, that would be an RMD, is the acronym, will exceed how much, Dan? What did that article say? What's the example?
$435,000. Their first
at age
72.
At age 72. So hold that number, okay, in your memory bank there. And then likely to grow as the couple ages, reaching the first number you were starting to call out at age 80. How much was that one, Dan?
$739,000.
Right. So now recall that RMDs are taxed as ordinary income. Do you think they have a tax problem in retirement? How many of you don't think that, right? I mean, how could $739,000? You would be in the highest bracket under today's scenario, I believe. I'm pretty sure that gets you there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's anyway, but to move on, Medicare means testing. So the story doesn't end with the tax bracket increase. It gets worse. High RMDs are likely to trigger Medicare means testing surcharges. And I'm not going to get into the details, but I'm going to suggest to you, here's the bottom line, and then we're going to take our last break. The couple in our example above is projected to pay $1.5 million in Medicare means testing surcharges through age 90. That's crazy. And when you think about it, that's another reason to get over into the Roth world, because the Roth income or the Roth distributions does not go into your modified AGI. So it keeps this number as low as it can. And I would argue it's one of the bulkheads of the zero tax math that we try to execute with our clients. Let's do this. I know that's brief. We'll talk about this more in future weeks. In fact, we're going to try to make Social Security and Medicare a weekly event, just bringing you up to date on news and on these types of little hidden traps, because this has a major impact on your retirement wealth. Dan, let's do this. Let's take another break, and we'll be back momentarily with the last segment of the Be a Planner Tax Mass Show. We'll have our favorite guest, Ms. Amy Titus, join us once again to give us a couple questions that have come in to the show over the last week. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Tax Mass Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose and Amy Titus coming up.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fine.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of the Be a Planner Tax Mass show this week with Nathan Ross, Dan DuBose, and I believe Amy Titus has joined us now. Amy, are you there?
Hello. Hello, Nathan, and hello, Dan.
Hello,
Amy. I can hear your voice.
Hey, we have a very short segment, so give us, probably we'll be lucky to get through one, if not maybe two questions, but go ahead.
I know.
What do we have?
I've got two good questions for you today, but I'm going to give you the first one I'm going to give you is one that you kind of touches on what you just got finished talking about, and that is a caller named Pam asks, in what situation should a person invest in an IRA rather than a 401k?
Well, you know, there are a couple scenarios, and I wouldn't say it's a preference. It's just because our hands are tied with the way the rules work. Dan, do you recall right offhand the two types of scenarios where we don't have a choice? I'm trying to think if we've had this discussion on the air before. Go ahead.
The Roth, with the 401, you've got to have self-employed income.
That's right. So that would
IRA,
be one
you can
scenario.
Have earned income.
Well, the 401 would be correct. You've got to have some type of self-employment, side gig type income. There's a lot of things you can do if you need a website or three that will give you some options. Let me know. I'll be happy to send those links to you. But let's just say if you're serious about executing this strategy, it is not a problem to find a side gig, and happy to help you do that because it makes a massive difference in the amount of tax that you might pay and or the ability to build wealth the fastest way I know for retirement. And then the second scenario would be a inherited IRA. Unfortunately, we are unable, it's IRS rules, to roll over an inherited IRA into a self-directed 401 trust as we can with traditional IRAs. And then, of course, Roth IRAs, I guess there's a third scenario. A Roth can only be rolled over to another Roth IRA. A Roth 401, which is part of every 401 trust that we adopt, can be rolled to a Roth IRA, or you know, distributions can be taken out of it, or loans can be taken from it. There's a variety of rules that are different from the IRA, from the Roth IRA that applied to the 401 Roth. And for that matter, the Roth IRA has its own separate constraints when it comes to investing in real estate partnerships. And the biggest negative is that IRA, doesn't matter whether it's a Roth IRA, an inherited IRA, a traditional IRA, rollover IRA, it's going to pay the UDFI tax component of the unrelated business income, UBIT, income tax. And if you've got investments, leveraged investments like real estate partnerships in an IRA of any flavor, you would be well advised to consider whether or not you can qualify to roll those funds over to the self-directed 401 trust. You don't have to liquidate the investments. You do need to have the money available. I recommend outside the 401 to pay the tax. But anyway, Amy, we've got just a couple minutes left. What's another question here?
Well, the other question, and I don't know if you can, if you have time to answer this whole thing, maybe we'll continue it next week. In what conditions should a self-employed person consider an entity?
For their business, I presume,
self-employed business.
Yeah. Well, actually, you could probably, at this point, with what I see coming, and again, we're kind of trying to read the tea leaves with regard to the 87,000 IRS agents. I'm not sure how many of them will actually be involved in audits, but if you look at the dollars, Dan, you've seen the allocation of that $80 billion, correct? And how heavily stacked it is on compliance.
They're spending that $80 billion they're allocated to raise another $200 billion.
Yeah, it's about half. I think it's 39 or 37 billion. But anyway, bottom line is we like LLCs for assorted reasons. Lower audit rates, asset protection, family sharing, that would be tax bracket allocation. And so I'm going to suggest to you, if you don't have an entity, there's some type of entity, maybe a pairing, a combination that would fit your facts and circumstances. But let's pick up on this next week. We are going to start developing some content regarding these entities, and this will be a good question to launch that with. But unfortunately, we are at the end of the show, and as Rod Stewart used to say, this is the part you all are waiting for, the end of the show. And in any event, we will be back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., right here on KSEV 700, the Voice of Texas, and we will be talking syndication math with a couple more transactions that we will try to give you a very high-level view of. Dan, real quick, anything else to add?
Yeah, that LLC question, too. You don't forget you got the legal liability, thus the name of it, limited liability company. That's very important, yeah. I think, too.
Good point. Well, we thank you for tuning in today. We hope you can join us in the morning. If not, next Saturday, 5 p.m. Central Time, will be the next Tax Mass show. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.